Good evening and welcome to our meeting of Mid Ulster District Council in the Chamber Dungannon. Whether you have joined us remotely or in the Chamber, I want to specifically welcome the public watching through the live broadcast for a period of open business. I'm not going to run through the housekeeping, we should all know it well enough by now, but just to remind the public and press that taking photographs of proceedings or using means to those are not present to see or hear proceedings or make a simultaneous oral report of proceedings are not permitted. Thank you, and I'll move on to the first item on the agenda. So we'll do roll call. Councillor Ashton?
Present.
Councillor Bell? Councillor Black?
Present.
Councillor Brown?
Present.
Councillor Buchanan?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Burton?
Present.
Councillor Clark?
Not sure.
Councillor Colvin?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Cuddy?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Cuthbertson?
Here.
Councillor Doris?
Here.
Councillor Ellider?
I'm sure.
Councillor Ford?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Gilderney? Received apologies. Councillor Glasgow?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Graham?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Kearney?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Kerr?
Apology.
Councillor Mullaghan?
Chair.
Councillor Martin?
Apologies, Chair.
Councillor Niall McAleer?
Here.
Councillor Sharon McAleer?
Apologies for Councillor Sharon, Chair.
Councillor McFlynn?
Here, Chair.
Councillor Brian McGuigan? Councillor Sean McGuigan?
Here, Chair.
Councillor McKenna?
Here.
Councillor McLean?
Chair, can I record an apology? He's trying to get on. He may be late, but just put him down as an apology. He's in the air at the minute.
No bother. Councillor McNamee?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Donald McPeak?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Sean McPeak?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Mullen?
I'm sure.
Councillor Mallory?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Monteith?
Here.
Yeah. Councillor Mullen?
Present, Chair.
Councillor O'Neill?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Quinn?
Councillor Quinn is running late, Chair.
Councillor Robinson?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Totten?
Here, Chair.
And Councillor Wilson? Okay, so item three, declarations of interest. So you can either declare now or if you come across something as we move through the agenda. All okay. Okay, and chair's business. So just have a couple of wee bits from the month past and what's ahead myself. So members, it seems hard to believe that we're in the countdown to Christmas when it's only been a matter of weeks since the start of the month and the final celebrations of Halloween this year. It was wonderful to see our residents sharing in the fun and fireworks across the district, and it sets the scene for our seasonal events to come over the weekend and next weekend, which we'll talk about more later. As well as working hard to deliver these events, staff involved in the planning and those based in the Braidwell and Morrifield and Om Dark Sky Park and Observatory have been working to create a more autism-friendly environment for our customers. As a result, these facilities and services have this month received the Autism Impact Award, so well done to everyone involved. And I'm delighted to say that as a result, council staff are now much better equipped to understand visitors to the centres or those attending events and those who have sensory or other requirements that need to be considered. The training has also helped in the design of council services and events in order to ensure that they are safe, welcoming and inclusive as possible for everyone. This month, I was also pleased to host the Mid Ulster Disability Forum's AGM at Ballyronan, a site which has benefited from our co-design approach with the forum. They have provided valuable feedback and direction in relation to the redevelopment of the site, which has ensured the pan-disability approach has been taken throughout. Many of us here tonight also attended a further two civic receptions this month, where local teams and individuals were recognised for their achievements in the fields of sport, broadcasting, business and the arts. We really do have amazing talent throughout the district. Meanwhile, a total of over 370 businesses attended events as part of Mid-Ulster Enterprise Week, returning this year from Monday the 14th to Friday the 18th of November. During the week, 13 events were held for local businesses, both online and in person, and they took place under the theme Adapt, Evolve and Overcome. Businesses used the words like motivational, inspirational, fantastic, insightful and thought-provoking in their feedback during the week, showing the programme really did have a positive impact. All in all, it was an excellent week, which shows that Mid-Ulster's enterprise and spirit is very much alive and well, even during the most challenging of times that we have came through and that are still ahead. Speaking of that enterprise and spirit, Christmas is by far one of the busiest times of the year for our town centres and our independent traders. And this year, especially when businesses and households are under ever-increasing financial pressures, we want to make shopping easy, accessible and affordable for those who are supporting our local economy, shops and traders. Therefore, I am pleased to see the return of our 10p parking promotion, which will assist with this. The added time means shoppers can fully explore what our town centres have to offer with no pressure. This weekend sees the return of our Christmas light switch on in the five main towns, Cookstown, Dungannon, Morafelt, Maharaa and Culleland, after an enforced break of 2 years. Our residents tell us that civic events help family and friends to come together and share in this the most special of seasons. So I, for one, will look very much forward to participating in the events over the week and getting to help Santa, of course, too. So I'd encourage you all to visit the website and attend the events that you can to get us into a wee bit of festive spirit. So I only have one other item on Chair's business, and we'd received a letter in today by email regarding the A5 consultation. So I know they were looking to respond to them for the 23rd of December, and just to ensure that we can reply back in time to the consultation. It's a very important issue for our residents and regarding road safety and transportation. Councillor Monaghan.
Chair, just on that issue, we did have a meeting with DFA, and one of the things that they were sort of encouraging was that people would respond to this consultation, because up until date, I think the objectors to this project have been, you know, extremely vocal and have made their presence known. So if there's people out there in the community who feel like I do that the A5 is a very worthy and important project, particularly this part of the world, then we should be encouraging them to respond to the consultation. So if there was an opportunity for the department's council's comms department to maybe help advertise the fact that this consultation is out there, particularly among our business community, I think that would be really useful.
Yep, that's fine. I'll second that if needed then too. Okay. Okay, and just to make you aware, Ryan Black, he's going to have a wee item to bring up. Ryan, I think you were looking to bring it up in the development papers, is that right? Okay, thank you. Okay, and then on to matters for decision. So item 5, council minutes of the meeting held 27th of October. Is there any issues from that? Okay, can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor Wilson. And Councillor Brown. And
Councillor Wilson has an issue.
Oh, you have an issue, Councillor Wilson? Yeah, go ahead.
It's and part of it's been resolved. We got letters today. Just if you were cynical, you would say that they were just on time, from both the Environment Agency and from DFI Roads. And I read with interest the one from NIEA that said between the 1st of April 2022 and 14th, the department received 159 cases from your district council area and responded to 151 cases within the same period. The plan application that I was talking about was in way before the 1st of April. And, you know, all I'm saying is it makes the figures look good in that time period. This is a major planning application, and they're actually saying the remaining 25 are still within our statutory target date, and that's not right, because they're outside the statutory target date for this planning application. And therefore, Madam Chair, I would ask that we write and invite Paul Donnelly, the Chief Executive, along to our next meeting, because it's important that he comes and listens, or if Paul Donnelly wants to talk to me directly, I'm quite happy to do that. So, yeah, thank you.
Yep, happy to take that on board. Okay, so item 6, Planning Committee Minutes, meeting held 1st of November. Any issues? Okay, can I get a proposer and a seconder, please?
Councillor Brown.
Councillor Brown. And a seconder, Councillor Monaghan. Okay, and item 7, Policy and Resources Minutes, held of the meeting held 3rd of November. Any issues? Okay, and a proposer and seconder, Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Proposed.
And a seconder. A seconder for PNR. Oh, Councillor Doris. Okay, and item 8, Environment Committee Minutes of the meeting held 8th of November. Any issues?
Chair.
Okay, proposed Brian McGuigan. And a seconder.
Councillor
Kearney. And no issues? Okay, and development minutes of the meeting held 10th of November. Any issues?
Chair, just in relation, I'm not sure what Ryan's going to talk about, but just in relation to the issue that was raised onto the swimming pools and the lack of swimming coaches, and I know it's an issue right across Mid-Ulster here, and I know Ryan and Kieran Gordon both have been very good at coming out and replying to the many emails and queries that us as councillors are getting, but you know, I think something really needs to happen here. Maybe Ryan can give us an update when he is speaking, but you know, with COVID, there was a couple of year groups of schools missed out, and young people, and it seems strange. You know, well, I suppose all labour markets are struggling at the minute to get staff, but we need to push the boat out here, or we need just to see what resources is needed to get on top of it as soon as possible.
Yeah. Do you want to come on there, Ryan? I'll get a proposer and seconder first, because there's another issue that Ryan wants to come on under. If I can get a proposer and seconder.
I'd be happy to propose
Councillor Clark and Councillor Mullen, is it? Councillor McNamee.
Okay, so
with
Councillor
Cuddy's looking in. Councillor Cuddy, you're looking to raise an issue, are you? No? Okay, and Councillor Black, or I'm promoting you, Ryan.
Please don't, Madam Chair.
Is there anything you want to tell us for a wee?
Madam Chair, maybe I'll deal with the recruitment issue first of all. Yes, there are challenges across the leisure industry and sectors in general in relation to recruitment. We have made some progress in relation to trying to move forward with a casual list in relation to lifeguards, and we are working with the HR team about going to do another recruitment exercise to try and deal with the issue. And hopefully that recruitment exercise will be targeted, so we will see some successful outcomes from that. So we will keep it under review and keep the members updated. In relation to the point that I wanted to raise, Madam Chair, it's D17522, the hardship support. The committee considered this matter at their meeting and recommended the use of council COVID reserves to take forward the decision that the committee had agreed. Obviously, that needs to be considered by the Policy and Resources Committee at their meeting in December. Just given the ongoing cost of living crisis and some of the pressures, the council is being asked to consider granting delegated authority to the Policy and Resources Committee to deal with this matter at their December meeting.
Councillor Ashton, go on first. Councillor Monteith, then. Yeah.
It's just to propose that, Chair. Yep. I'm long started saying that our decision making processes are convoluted and not fit for purpose, and anything we can do to expedite this at this time should be done. I propose that we give delegate authority to PNR so that this money can get out the door as soon as possible.
Okay. I'm happy to second that. I agree. We all know people are. And for tough times ahead with the cost of living crisis, so I'm happy to second that. Councillor Ashton, you were looking to come in there.
Thank you, Chair. It was just an action that was to come out, actually, it's on the same matter, but it's on page 79 there, just of the development. I didn't see it coming through now, since it didn't, but Councillor Burton had asked. just for the list of the 11 food banks, and they were to be shared, but I just don't recall seeing that coming through, just so that could be followed up.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. No problem, we can get that sent through. Okay, and item 10 then, civic recognition report. That's just for noting, if we can get a proposer and seconder, please. Okay, Councillor McFlynn.
Oh. Sorry, I'll put on my mic. There's one on there for McNichol Caravans, and they've been demoted to a letter. This caravan company, they won the static caravan site of the year down for Ballycastle, and they're based just outside Ballyrunnan. So it was a big competition, and I think they're deserving of a civic, but maybe if we could look at it again, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. On that one, what we do is, if it's on for a letter, to receive a letter from the Chair of Council, we look at the information that come in through the office, and we'll look at that, and if we think it's deserving to be uplifted, we will do that, but we would need the agreement of the Council to do that, if that so be the case. But we would need to look at that information again. But without making a decision here tonight, I can't make a recommendation on that. It's a matter for the Council to decide that.
Okay, and can I get a seconder for the report, please? Councillor Mullaghan. These are all very shy tonight. And matters for information then. So item 11, consultations. Everybody. Councillor Mullaghan.
Thanks, Chair. There's a consultation there from the department, from Education Authority on draft interim language policies, public consultations. And I'm just asking that be referred to officers with language specialism to put forward a response on behalf of Council, please.
Okay. Any other issues? Can I get a proposer and seconder then for that? Councillor McFlynn and Councillor Barry McGuigan. Okay, and item 12, correspondence. Yeah, go ahead.
Just, it's on the DERA one there, on the eradication of BVD and that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I maybe just want to submit a report in as well myself, if that's okay. Thanks. You're already late.
Yep, that's grand. You can get that done. Okay, and can I get a proposer and seconder then for correspondence?
Councillor Colvin.
Councillor Colvin.
Chair, I'll propose, but okay. I would like to make an observation as well, if I might, later. I want to make a comment as well, but I'd propose it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Councillor Mullaghan.
Just a comment as well. In regards to correspondence received today, not in this report, but received today from Council in regards to passing on details of people within school transport that would be available for us. But that response, I think, came through one of our community planning partners and didn't come through official channels of Department of Education. So I think it's still important that we receive a full response from the department and with more information and to address the concerns that were raised here at the council meeting. So I suppose I'm just saying at this stage that what we received today, in my view, wouldn't be good enough in terms of a response from the department.
Yep, I agree there. So we'll just send up a follow-up letter. Can I get a... Oh, sorry, Councillor Colvin.
Chair, are you content that I make my point then, this point now? It's also with the Education Authority, and it's actually broadly similar to what Councillor Mullaghan has raised. I note the response we've got from the Department of Education on this matter. And I think what we should make clear is, because of the way the Education Authority work, we would need representatives of both Ballymena and Armagh here. And my experience is that the Education Authority do not do what the Health Service do. The Health Service have an initiative where they have no more silos. They work together across their own created boundaries. That does not happen with the Education Authority. Apparently, they don't work together. So you could end up on the edge of, say, the Ballymena boundary, and you could be helped by the people in Armagh, but they don't do it. which is bizarre in this day and age. The other thing I find quite amazing, and they are consistent in this at least, I wrote to both Armagh and Ballymena, I sent them an email, and they both ignored me. So at least they're consistent in that. But that is totally unacceptable. We are elected members here, and I do believe there could be a hierarchy where there are certain people will be absolutely certain of getting a response from the education authority, and we are down the bottom of the pecking order. That's just totally unacceptable, Chair, as well. I'll have to make that point. So those are the things I wanted to suggest, and we need to make sure that both of them are here because they don't work together. So at least we can get them in one room. Maybe that'll help. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, that's no problem, and I'll second that for you as well. Like, that's the issues we've been raising in the last couple of months, you know, the problems with anybody coming back to you, and as you say, it's a case of just ignore you by and large, like, or you're going around the houses, so no problem at all. Can I get a seconder for correspondence report?
Yeah.
Councillor Morgan.
Councillor
McAleer.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just in relation to Appendix E, the notice of motion from Mary Moore and Brown, Government Help with Cost of Living Crisis. I just wanted to propose that we support that in whatever way we can. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep, that's great. Councillor Mullaghan, second that. Yeah, thank you. And any other issues then? We're all happy. Okay, so notice of motion then, item 13. Councillor Colvin, if you want to move.
Thank you, Chair. Statistics shared by the Planning Department demonstrate that Mid Ulster District Council is in the top three in Northern Ireland for development applications received. However, this growth has not been matched by investment by NIW in our district and appropriate sewage infrastructure, resulting in many developments relying on what are called temporary treatment plants, which in some cases have been in place for several years. In our modern world, we should not be relying on such systems that only really kick the can down the road until a sustainable system is installed. This council calls for NIW to make funding available and install appropriate sewage infrastructure in our district. Moreover, this council seeks an urgent meeting with NIW to discuss specifically its sewage infrastructure plans to speedily address this issue. And Chair, that being the motion, I would just like to add a couple of personal observations and my own DEA. I can cite examples of people living adjacent to treatment plants being subject to unpleasant odours emitting from that treatment plant. This should not be the case, that neighbours must put up with such a nuisance. There's also a proposed new housing development in New Mills, where it is likely that a temporary treatment plant will be proposed. I wouldn't like to be the neighbour living next door to that, and why should anyone have to do so? And finally, Chair, in addition to New Mills, there's the issue of a Northern Ireland water pumping station plant, from which there's no odour, it has to be said, but it's in a position that's inhibiting the natural expansion of the centre of the village for community and outdoor recreation facilities. Now, that location may have been suitable in the past, but it's no longer. As part of a comprehensive review of the current infrastructure, this should be removed. Its current location inhibits the organic development of the village, where people wish to spend time and enjoy the sense of community space that is so important for quality of life and mental health. And Chair, I move the motion. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Cuthbertson.
Thanks, Chair.
Can I get a seconder? Go ahead, Councillor Rawson.
Clement wants to second too. In seconding the motion that's brought before us, the whole idea of the sewage system within, and I'm now using Cookstown, is actually hindering development within the north end of the town. The town shape that we used to have has now been lengthened and other places narrowed. And what we have is, we have, and I've had this discussion with the head of planning, we have phase one land in the north end of the town that can't be used because of the sewage system. However, we have phase two land that can be used at the bottom end of the town for it, but the land can't be used until phase one land is used up. So I just don't know where we're going with this. Now, appreciating that Water Service come here and give us their report every year and have indicated that they're going to start upgrading the sewage system by 2000 and, or starting in 2024. But the caveat to that is if finance is available. But it's not just the water service. We have a situation in Cookstown where a development was built, planning permission was given, a development was built, the houses were sold, and then an issue was raised about the sewage system. Those people that bought those houses in good faith, some of them will be spending Christmas out of their homes again. And there doesn't seem to be any joined up working between developers, sewage, and even our own planners. And on this occasion, it appears anyway that the developer went ahead, built it, and then was hoping that things would work out. So there's another planning application coming in for the north end of the town, again looking a mobile pumping station, temporary one. And that's the only way at the moment that things are being developed, and we cannot sustain that for much longer. Those people that bought those houses have actually received a letter now telling them that the price they agreed is not going to be honoured. They actually, there'll be an increase in those. So people are being penalised for waiting for 2 years for their houses that they'd already been agreed on. And that's why I think it's vitally important, and following on from the motion, that we invite NIEA and Water Service along here to discuss, and I'm sure in other areas is the same, but I'm specifically about Cookstown, about these issues. So I'm quite happy to second the motion. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Culbertson.
Thank you, Chair. And I suppose the lack of space or capacity in the wastewater treatment plants has been an issue, I know, in Dungannon and villages up the Clogher Valley, etc., for some time now. And I know it's an issue that has been raised every time that NI Water comes in to do their presentation. I think I was just checking there before the meeting, March 21, I think, the last time they're in. But you know, it has been to the forefront. We've had meetings about it. Every time NI Water come, they just come and say that we need more money, asking us to lobby executive and stuff on their behalf, which, you know, surely NI Water can do their own lobbying in the department, but you know, it is a major issue. It is stopping development in the likes of Dungannon. But there is a wider issue, and I'm not going to make any amendments or anything, or try to add anything on, but I think it needs highlighted as well. The whole infrastructure that's in place at the minute between NI Water and DFA is not fit for purpose. And every councillor in the room here will know over this past 2-3 weeks the amount of rainfall there's been, and every village has a manhole lid lifted. Sewage just recently there this week out in the bush, it was a sewage manhole that was lifted. Stormwaters are lifted. DFA are not cleaning out gullies. The whole system's not fit for purpose. So there needs to be a wider discussion, as well as getting investment into increasing capacity. They need to look at the current infrastructure and pipework that's there, because it's not fit. Either needs maintenance or needs cleaned out or whatever. It's not fit for purpose, because there's houses at risk of flooding nearly in every village and town across Mid Ulster. So I'm happy enough to support the motion, but I presume NI Water are due in over the next, as I thought it was usually around November, December time to come. I think it was March the last time because of COVID. They had missed a year. So, you know, I know the meeting will happen, whether it needs to be an extra meeting or not.
Okay, Councillor McPhlan.
Thank you, Chair, for letting me in. And I want to thank Councillor Colvin for bringing this motion forward tonight. I sit in the planning committee along with himself and other members here in the chamber. Our planning department does a brilliant job of approving schemes. Literally every month, good schemes come forward and they're approved. And then we have the contractors that go out and try and build these homes. And these are much needed homes for people in our community. We want our residents to stay within Mid Ulster. We don't want them going elsewhere. But this this whole thing, the carry on, the sewage, it's at full capacity now in most of our towns, and it's not fit for purpose anymore, and that's why a lot of our contractors have to pull back and they can't build the homes that they need to be building. And I would agree with the comments of Clement and everybody else around the room saying that quite often we're seeing houses are flooded because the stormwater drains can't take the water away. But we're sitting here at the minute, we don't have a Minister for Infrastructure who could lead in this and who could try and solve the problem. And we're relying on senior civil servants to move this forward and deal with the issue. But it's not just an issue in Mid Ulster, it's right across the whole of the North. All towns are seeing this at the minute, but our main point is the people of Mid Ulster and our residents that are suffering because of flooding of their homes because the water cannot get away. We're happy, and our party will be supporting the motion, and we're very happy to support that a meeting comes forward. I don't know what will come out of the meeting, because it'll be a senior civil servant we're going to be meeting. It won't be the minister, unfortunately, at this outset, but at least it'll be a start. It'll be a starting point to try and move it forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, and I agree with what everybody's said there as well. The executive being down is causing its issues, and as we know, any time that any water have come in, they're asking us to put pressure on the executive and on Westminster and the block grant, because they haven't got the funds needed to do the work that they need to do to improve our water and our sewage infrastructure. So I agree with the sentiments of the motion as well and support it. Any other? Councillor Monaghan.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose a number of years ago, whenever you looked at this issue, you would have described it as a postcode lottery, but it's no longer a postcode lottery, because now almost every postcode sits within this problem. And that goes from small settlements right up to the large town where all these problems occur. And it's a real barrier to growth in terms of the ability of local developers to build good, decent homes for local people, for the opportunity to increase the housing stock within our district, because, I mean, it goes without saying, if we can't build more houses, then it's going to add to increased levels of homelessness across our society. And I suppose Mid Ulster might be marginally better off because of the large volume of rural dwellers, and they don't rely on access to treatment plants. You know, people who live in the countryside deal with it in a different way, so that might take a small bit of pressure off. So it would be interesting to ask officials from NI Water if we're getting the portion of the pot that we're entitled to in terms of investment into our treatment plants right across the north, because I know, and it's already been stated here, that we can bring these officials into the chamber here, and they're going to put back onto us the question that where are we going to get the money? We need you to be a lobbyist on our behalf to tell government to give us more money. And then you go back to the Department of Infrastructure, and they're going to say, right, if we want to give NI Water more money to build sewage treatment plants, we take that away from road infrastructure or other types of important infrastructure investment. So it's a very difficult one to crack. But I was just wondering, and it would be a question for the Chief Executive, would NI Water be excluded from accessing funds via the levying up that has currently been made available? Because if there was ever a topic that required levying up in terms of our infrastructure, sewage treatment would fall into that category, because the amount of money that NI Water keeps telling us that is needed to bring the North up to the standard that it needs to be at is way beyond a few years setting aside money by the executive here. It's into the billions of pounds. So support the motion generally, but it feels like it's going to be kicked into a cycle of pushing the can around to the different people who are responsible for it.
Okay, Chair. Just two comments. First of all, to answer Councillor Mulhan's question, my guess is they would be eligible. I say that because you'll recall at a growth deal briefing that we received a month or two ago from our colleagues in Fermanagh-Noma, that we were informed that DFA have made a submission to the levelling up for the Enniskillen bypass. So working on the basis that they were able to do that for the bypass, I suspect, and can't see a reason why the water service could not do otherwise. In relation to the meeting, I'm just very conscious that given the gravitas of the situation here and the issues that are being raised, it may be appropriate, Chair, when we talk within the motion of a meeting, perhaps maybe this requires a special meeting, single item agenda, where we bring them to the table and we identify and advance the issues like we've done previously. I find those far more productive than coming in and doing the run-of-the-mill annual presentation. And we could aim to try and pull something together in January and get them into the chamber of a night and let's just see where we go with this. Members are happy.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair.
Just a couple of comments. There's been supposedly an awful lot of development done on the sewage system in the last 20 years. I'd be interested to know what amount has been actually invested in sewage, because my understanding is that it is a huge amount, and we're still years behind. So I would like to see if we could, you know, somehow or other manage to resurrect those figures. The second thing is this idea that developers, builders, whoever, actually spend money on a temporary sewage system is a complete and total waste of money. It's double funding of ever those, because it's going to have to be built anyway. You know, so like if the system's going to be built, why should house purchasers be, like, and it's to finish up with them, why should they be subsidizing a temporary system which is only a temporary system? Like, that is a total and absolute waste of money. Thank you.
Councillor Wilson.
Thank you for allowing me back in, Madam Chair. Following on from Councillor Clark's and the issue, I'd be very tempted to say a lot of money was flushed down the toilet, but I wouldn't dare say that. But what we have at the moment is we have a situation where houses, that development that I'm talking about, is now in a situation where good news has come through today, that there seems to be light at the end of the tunnel. But as Councillor Clark has said, that's been based on a temporary system. So those people that buy those houses are paying for that temporary system, when in fact, if NI Water and other developers could get together, they might be able to come to some sort of solution that would alleviate the issues, the landowners and the developers in the north end of town, that maybe would alleviate the situation with that there. So, no, I'm quite happy to get them at the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Burton.
Chair, I would totally agree with Adrian in that it's much better to get them round the table. And I suppose the other thing we also need to remember is that some of these houses that are partly built, there has been people who have been waiting and had put a deposit down. I know there's some of the homes in Auchincloy were in this situation, and they were basically told maybe a year and a half, 2 years down the line that the house is not going to be continued on. So when you know, they're really an eyesore then, because they're just sitting like derelict half-built homes. So we really need to try and get, you know, a way forward in this. And I suppose, Adrian, it would be really keen, I would be very keen to see what, I think Five Mile Town had an upgrade at some stage, but I know, having attended the interagency meeting the other day, that some of the manholes with that last flooding lifted, and there was back gardens where the sewage problem ended up in people's gardens, which is what you do not want. So it's definitely a work in progress, but we need to keep at it. Thank you.
Okay. Can I get a proposal and a seconder for a special meeting? Sorry. Go ahead, Councillor McGuigan.
One other comment, Chair, on the sewage system, this temporary system that has been put in by developers, obviously to get the houses up and occupied and all that there. My concerns there be it's a very short term solution, and if that system failed, who is responsible in terms of any repairs or work to be carried out. I doubt it. NA Water wouldn't take responsibility there, and certainly the developer would be long gone. The residents would be left with it, and there would be a door here in council to try and sort the situation out. So that is, I think, a very dangerous direction to be going down. I know it's happening, but that's one that we have to think about as well.
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Can I get a proposer and a seconder that we go forward with a special meeting as well?
Sorry, Madam, on a point, just on a point of clarification, it actually says within the motion an urgent meeting, which would be, to me, it would be equivalent, and therefore what, Robert's proposal and my seconder should cover that.
We're covered. Okay, grant. And thank everybody supportive of the motion. So, if you want to have some, if you've any closing remarks there, Councillor Colvin?
No, other than to say thank you very much to the members and the parties for their support. I really appreciate it, and it is an issue that affects all of us, really, and all the citizens in the district. I think the motion is, in fact, wide enough to embrace flooding as well that was raised and other matters that members were concerned about. So I do appreciate the support, and thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a proposer and seconder to come out? Councillor Mullaghan, Councillor McFlynn. Okay, so that concludes our period of open business. We will now wait for the end of the live broadcast, and just like to thank the public and those watching for tuning in. Thank you now.